today in Washington, President Obama unveiled his $4 trillion budget plan, which raises taxes on the wealthy, cuts them for the less well-off. It also allocates more money to defense, as well as roads and bridges.
America can't afford being short-sighted, and I'm not going to allow it. The budget I've sent to Congress today is fully paid for through a combination of smart spending cuts and tax reforms.
The plan is already getting some pushback from Republicans. On NBC's Meet the Press yesterday, Congressman Paul Ryan, who chairs the House Budget Committee, called the president's plan envy economics.
This top-down redistribution doesn't work. We've been doing it for 6 years. Look, it may make for good politics. It doesn't make for good economic growth.
Joining us now from Washington is Charlie Mattesian, NPR politics editor. And Charlie, let's start with what's in the budget.
Hey, Jeremy. At the broadest level, I think this is a fairly populist budget, and it's one that fleshes out some of what the president proposed in his State of the Union. You see tax breaks for the middle class, increased spending on government programs and on infrastructure. There's an increase in funding for research and development, including for biomedical research like the Precision Medicine Initiative that the White House showcased last week. And as for the infrastructure spending in particular, the budget calls for a $478 billion public works program that would be paid for with a one-time 14% tax on overseas corporate profits. So all of this new spending, the White House contends, is going to be paid for by, among other things, capital gains tax increases and other tax changes and cuts that the White House says will keep the nation's deficits under control.
But as we heard, there's already some pushback coming from people like Paul Ryan. Does this have any chance in a Republican Congress?
Well, the short answer is yes, it's dead on arrival. Keep in mind that this is a political blueprint. It's really just – it's a guideline, and in many ways, it's simply an aspirational agenda. I think in more practical terms, it's already been declared dead in Congress, and that's because of its spending priorities, its tax increases, and in no small part because of the animus that exists between the two branches of government at the moment. You know, already we've seen that the president's plan hasn't been very warmly embraced by Capitol Hill Republicans, and that's pretty clear what we've been hearing from them.
Okay. Well, I do want to ask you while we have you about some other things going on. With Mitt Romney deciding not to run for president, there's been a lot of jockeying going on among the potential GOP candidates over the weekend. Chris Christie was in London and made some comments about vaccinations. And this, of course, is happening as a measles outbreak continues to spread. And one of the reasons it's been hard to contain is that some parents have chosen not to vaccinate their kids. Governor Christie says he vaccinates his own kids, but he said he understands that parents need to have some measure of choice in things as well. And then he was asked to clarify that statement. Here he is speaking today.
It depends on what the vaccine is, what the disease type is, and all the rest. And so I didn't say I'm leaving people the option. What I'm saying is that you have to have that balance in considering parental concerns.
And this was just a day after President Obama said he urged people to go get vaccinated. He says the science tells you that's what you should be doing. Is this becoming a political issue?
Well, I think there was a certain dog whistle political component to Governor Christie's remarks on vaccination, because by talking about the role of parental choice in vaccination, Chris Christie was tapping into a strain of thinking and distrust among some conservatives when it comes to government dictates of any kind, especially in the wake of the president's recent remarks about the need for vaccinations. And I think that's why so many saw the shadow of 2016 in Governor Christie's original comments. But I think at the end of the day, I don't think it's a sign that we're going to see Chris Christie campaigning as a leading anti-vaxxer, since he's already tried to walk back those comments today because of the publicity he's gotten over them. And today he came out and clarified a little bit and said, there's no question kids should be vaccinated.
Well, how is he positioned as people go after the Romney supporters and the Romney donors? In this latest poll we got the other day out of Iowa, Christie gets only 4%. He's got the highest negative ratings in the field. Scott Walker, the governor of Wisconsin, leads that poll with 15%. Jeb Bush is at 8%.
Well, I think on a lot of different levels, Governor Walker of Wisconsin is experiencing a bit of a micro surge in what's often called the invisible primary. I mean, he had a really well-received speech at a key recent event in Iowa. And the reason I mention that is that it's notable because he has a reputation as a pretty uninspired, dull speaker. So that got noticed. And I think if you take a look at the most recent Des Moines Register poll that came out this weekend, that also showed some signs of momentum with Walker rising to the top of the Republican field. The point here is that polls mean next to nothing at this stage in the campaign. But when you see that kind of movement like Walker made from 4% to 15% in a fairly short period, and when you see the kind of press he's getting, and now that Romney's out of the field, people tend to sit up and take notice in a way that they might not have before.
That's NPR Politics editor Charlie Mattesi, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again and again and again, Charlie, over the next year and a half. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jeremy.